This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Peace be with you. Welcome to The Dean Show. Subscribe if you have not subscribed already. I'm excited, and I'm sure you will be too, because I have an exciting guest here. You know, we made the Filipino connection. You know, Manny Pacquiao from the Filipinos. That's right. But this guy, this brother, he actually accepted this deen, this way of life, a long time ago. And he's got an incredible story. Went from hanging out at the White House, now he's hanging out here at the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with this fascinating story.
This is the Dean Show.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, I'm feeling good.
Now, you heard me mention, I was talking about Manny Pacquiao with the Filipino connection.
Yeah.
Have you ever met Manny?
I have not.
But he's from the same place where you originally from. Your parents
My
are from.
My parents are from. Yes.
Yeah, Filipino. I know. So we got. How's the community out there?
The community predominantly is in the south, and this is just a long story of oppression by the government. It's a predominantly Christian country, predominantly Catholic, and the Muslims in the south live in Mindanao and are actually called Moros, which has a connection to the Moors of North Africa. So yeah, it's a There's about 5%. It was much more before, but because of politics, oppression, and other things, it's been very challenging for the Filipino Muslims in the South. But there's a big resurgence and a big movement where a lot of people are converting to Islam there in the Philippines. So, yeah.
It's the natural way. It calls you to do something that's in your nature, to worship the Creator, not the creation. It's simple to understand. It's logical, makes sense, and that's what really captivated you. That you actually went, and studied in the desert.
Yeah,
you were out there for several years, wanting to get close to the Creator. You accepted Islam. Yeah. I met one Filipino Muslim because I didn't know. I mean, it's very scarce to find a Filipino Muslim. Yeah. Was it primarily? It's a predominant Christian
country and Catholic.
So you had some influence also over Musa. Musa, he went over to be an imam also in what city?
South Africa. He's now currently in Cleveland.
Alhamdulillah. So what happened? How did all this start?
So it's interesting. You bring up Musa, and like there's other people that are tied to Southern California community or to the Filipino community, and a lot of those converts actually, you know, and Allah al-Hadi, Allah's the one that guides, and Allah's the one that makes people become Muslim, not the people, right? And with Musa, Ron, all the other people that we've mentioned, in fact, everyone pretty much converted after me. So when I converted, I got kicked out of my home, went through some trials and tribulations, and then mashallah, like everyone around me converted.
Now, so we got some not yet Muslims, Filipino, they're going to be excited, you know, oh, that's our countrymen, they're tuning in.
Yeah.
You said some Arabic words. Yeah. You actually speak Arabic also, right?
I speak fluent Arabic.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
So you didn't become Arab, did you?
No. No.
But someone heard Muslim.
Yeah.
They heard Allah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us for the Filipinos?
So
he went somewhere else.
Yeah, so no, Islam is, you know, it stands for peace, the religion of peace. And Muslim is someone who practices the religion of Islam. So it's like, you know, Judaism, if you practice Judaism, you're Jewish. If you practice religion of Islam, you're a Muslim. Allah is the same as El Dios. It's the definitive article, Allah. It's like El Dios, the God. So Allah, El Dios, the God, it's all the same. So we all believe in the one true creator.
People get amazed when I tell people that, look, Moses, Abraham, Jesus, they were all Muslim. They submitted to the will of God, to the creator. And that's what we're doing. That's it.
Yeah.
So tell us now, what took you on this journey? You came from a hip-hop culture, music this, music that, you know? And your whole life was probably around, like most people, just materialism. You forgot about the soul, the heart, mind. It was just, fulfilling what people want to fulfill.
Yeah.
Those temporary enjoyments.
Yeah.
What had you come to a point where you got real serious in life?
There were some things that occurred, you know, with very troubling times in my life before Islam, whether it was through particular deaths, through violence. It was me always having a contemplative soul in mind, being influenced by hip-hop that was conscious, that made you think about politics, the effects of, you know, politics on finance, people's living standards, the disparity of poverty and wealth. And these kinds of things made me think about my own soul and about my place in this world. So yes, I lived a very worldly life, a very colorful experience before Islam. But always in the back of my mind, I always used to always think like I was created for something grander than this, something bigger than this.
On your way here, you mentioned that you said something to the Uber driver.
Yeah.
What did you tell him?
I told him
that what Islam has done for you.
Yeah, it was funny because it's affected my whole entire life. Like the businesses I run, emotionally, financially, spiritually, mentally, and I didn't know everything that I've done in my life would lead to this. And right before I was going to say anything, and he goes, "It was the best decision you've made in your life." And I said, "It actually was," you know.
Tell us, some people looking out there, they say, "Look, why didn't you just stick with worshiping Jesus as the Son of God, dying for your sins,
yeah,
staying a Christian? What happened here?"
For me, it was God put me in a position where I was able, I don't know why, but I was able to take a step back from religion and just look at them all. So I studied, you know, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Confucianism, Sikh, you know, Jainism, and all of the different faiths. And it was, to put it succinctly, Islam was the most, it intellectually like satiated me. And the idea of one true creator was something that I could easily swallow.
Most people have a hard time with creation worship,
yeah,
worshiping a man.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't know that we love Jesus, but as a mighty messenger,
yeah,
not as a God or a literal son of God. But people love this direct connection, not
yeah,
going through an intermediary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this also, and it connects with the fitrah,
yeah,
with the innate nature
of
man.
The innate nature. And that was probably it, Eddie, was that the radical departure and understanding of one true God that Islam really, really drills down was probably the most appealing thing to me. Was just like, wow, you know, that's what I always believed before in my life, always in my life, that there was one true creator, and Islam's take on it was just so, like, was just, it made most sense to me. It made the most sense to me, and it was very easy to convert.
A lot more to talk about. We mentioned the White House. You've been all over the world, traveling, entrepreneur, here on The Dean Show with my special guest. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Okay, you've got your dream home and you've got your dream car, but you're going to get old and things are going to happen to you in your life. And then what have you got? At the end of the day, it's an empty dream that has no real foundation. We are going to die and we're going to meet our Lord and He is going to judge us.
Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. Now, I mentioned the White House. Did you get a chance to give President Obama some dawah?
Actually, it was funny. We started talking, but if I could take a step back.
Absolutely.
When people talk about this, you know, people going to the White House, people meeting the president, and all the different ahadith and things from our tradition that talk about these kinds of interactions, for me, what was the compelling force was my mother. My mother, when I became Muslim, I got kicked out of my home because they despised my religion and they hated it. And I did some things to actually make them really not like my faith. And alhamdulillah, I went overseas. I studied for 4 years, came back home. And when I was overseas, it was my mother who was the first one to convert to Islam.
Wow.
And after that, my father became Muslim. You have to remember, these are people who kicked me out of my home because they hated my religion. Then my family became, my best friend became Muslim, his family became Muslim, our friends became Muslim, their friends became Muslim, people we'd meet become Muslim, their families become Muslim. So when I got the invitation, it was my mother who got it. And she was beside herself. She was elated. And she was just couldn't believe that it was her son that did this. And she remembers the day before I was leaving to go to Africa to study, and you know when I converted, and all these memories were playing into her mind. And when she was just like, "My baby's going to the White House. He's gonna be having dinner." It for me was something that to honor my mother because of everything she's did. For her to convert at such an old age, to have the resiliency to practice, to have it affect my father and the rest of my family, it was my mother who, like, was the reason why I went. And I went for my mother, I went for my father, and I went for everything I stood for, because it was just for my mom and dad. It was just like one of the, I'd never seen them so proud. And I've gotten degrees and I've done things with my life, but it was just like, wow, this is our son, and you did something that people just don't do. So yeah, I went there, and it was actually, I mean, I have to admit, I mean, President Obama is a really nice guy as a man, as a human being, you know, aside from everything else, he's just a good man. And we were able to talk about some funny things, and I'll just leave it at that. But it was pretty interesting.
Now, all these people accepting Islam, God Almighty, Allah is the one who guides, but
very true.
You were able to have a great influence. Very Did they invite true. You down to the White House to say, slow down the dawah?
No. Actually, from what I've been told, and you know, it, the fact that in our faith sometimes it's, or even in the religion, that the pursuit of acquiring, you know, a good life in the world is exclusive or to the detriment of your afterlife. Or if you chase after your afterlife, your dunya, you know, your worldly life is going to be affected. And I guess people, I don't know, God knows best, they see someone that has been able to, I guess, go down both paths and be balanced and not compromise one for the other. I don't know. God knows best of why people, you know, think of me that way. But yeah, it's affected the way I do business. Islam permeates a lot of it, right? And a lot of the foundations and the principles and the ethics that I practice is because of it.
Now, why was your family so upset in the beginning, so angered that they kicked you out? When obviously, if people look and they see, okay, he's a Muslim, he's doing what Jesus did, Moses, Abraham, he's just submitting to God. He just wants to be a better human being. And Islam helps you, if you practice it, right, to develop yourself to be the best human being, better to your neighbor, to your parents, in business, and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, why did they have such a difficulty accepting this in the beginning?
A lot of it has to do with media. Mm-hmm. My parents are just, you know, they're the common American where they watch TV after they get home from work, and whatever the media tells them, whatever the news is, they'll be like, son, we were watching the news, and in Nigeria, this is what's happening, and why is this occurring in Saudi Arabia, and why did they do that to women in Pakistan, and why is this going on in Egypt, and like, why is your religion so violent? And I can't blame them, right? As people who are concerned with paying their bills, keeping the lights on, raising good children, they don't have the time to dig deep, to do research, to investigate. People do, right? People do have the time. If Allah was to take everything from your life, you still have time. But I understand from the human perspective that people have some difficulties getting to those because they're so concerned with the affairs that bog them down daily. So it was the media that did that for my mother and father. So when they would see me going actually deeper into my newfound faith, they found it very troublesome. And also the way I was super, super hard on them. And I was just telling them all kinds of things that were just very, you know, like, get rid of all the alcohol in this house. And this. And they're like, who are you? Mm-hmm. Like, we raised you. So who are you to tell us what to do? So I had a hand in that too, but a lot of it had to do with the media.
Right now, people are seeing a statistic. And actually, this is just really way out there when the media purposely, they go ahead and twist the truth and blow things out of proportion. People have more of a chance of being killed by a shark bite, dog bite, their furniture, than actually a Muslim terrorist. We know this is the antithesis to Islam. You know, it's. But imagine, we give these examples, you know, if the media just played to all the violence that's happening. Yeah. We love our country here, but obviously there's a lot of things that are going on in America. And if people outside of the world were just, you know, focusing on all the violence here, it'd be a scary thing, right? People be like, why are you going over there? That's a war zone.
Yeah, it, you know, for me, I've come to realize, Eddie, through my travels and experiences in life, that every human being has an agenda. Every group has an agenda. Every company has an agenda. So for the powers that be, I mean, I have an agenda, right? Like, I want to please my parents. I want to be the best son I can be, the best neighbor I can be, and I'm going to do what I need to do to achieve that. So for companies, they have different goals, right? They have different people that they need to please. You in your life, you have different people you need to please, so you do things. And when you do things, it may not be liked by other people, right? So what I've come to realize is that I'm here to do my job sincerely for the sake of my Creator and to be the best at it. And only God can stop me, God willing. You know, like, I'm going to try to be the best that I can be.
Tell us, what was the turning point? How far down later, after you accepted submission to the will of the Creator, Islam, did your parents, did they end up accepting?
My mom converted probably, I want to say, two or three years after me.
Not too long later.
Not too long later.
That's such a blessing.
Yeah.
What was it for them also? They saw you improving your character, becoming a better human being?
I would say that was probably it. Like, for a lot of people, it, you know, all praise is due to God. Like, as a man, as I've just been blessed that when I really want something, and God knows, like, in my heart what I want to do, and it's sincerely to be the best that I can be, to be the best person I can be, I can make that change. And I think when people saw me change from how I was to how I, you know, was, how I became as a Muslim, people were really deeply affected by that. My mother, my father, my friends, people in my community, people from my neighborhood, were just like, whoa, he really changed. Ah, he'll change after 6 months. Then 6 months became a year, and a year became 2 years. So for a lot of the people that started questioning, it was, what made him change? And what is this peace that he currently has now, this stability and this outlook of life and this positivity? Like, how do I get that? And I think that was, you know, God knows best. People saw the change in me and wanted it for themselves.
It was like a miracle. It seeing people, now your parents could sleep at
definitely.
Night.
Definitely.
Probably different. From all the ruckus before you were starting. Do you speak Filipino?
No, I don't. I understand Tagalog, which is the national language. But no,
you know how to say hi, bye, we'll be right back?
Actually, I don't.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back here on the Dean Show with more. Don't go anywhere.
The question is about whether Muslims are or not good citizens. The Constitution defines what a good citizen is. In the preamble it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. To any Muslim that can say that is a good Muslim. And most Muslims can say that. Most Muslims will embrace that. Most Muslims are good Americans.
This is the Dean Show. Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind.
Please subscribe to the Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support the Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on the Dean Show, we made the Filipino connection. I'm talking about Manny Pacquiao. Why I keep talking Manny Pacquiao? I keep thinking Filipino Manny Pacquiao. He's a big star over there, isn't
he?
Yeah,
he is. He is.
Yeah,
he
he's
is.
Got, I heard he's, you mentioned something, he's got a lot of Muslim friends.
He has some people in his corner that are Muslim. But yeah, he's mainly known to be Catholic, I believe, or I think probably born again Christian. Yeah.
Inshallah, the Creator of the heavens and earth guides him to the way that Jesus was upon.
Ameen.
And all the prophets, because they were ones who connected their heart back to their maker, to their creator, direct dial-up. We talk about peace, and that's how you get it, by living this way of life. Many people, they're on Prozac, antidepressants, every suicide epidemic, every 40 seconds, somebody's taking their life. So they want some of this peace, but money can't buy a six-pack of peace. So what advice do you give people who are struggling now to get off all this, these drugs?
People who are struggling? I don't know, man. As someone who
came from that lifestyle, and now you got that peace.
Yeah.
And now someone turned in late at night, you know, maybe they came back from the club, they tuned in, and they're like, I want some of this.
Just in the deepest, darkest hour of the night, just ask your Creator. Just ask your Creator for the best. I mean, that's all I can say, is just pray to God. When I meet people who ask me for money, you know, I tell them, I give, you know, give them money. My name is Muhammad. You know, pray to God for yourself. Pray to God for me. because no one can give you happiness and no one can, like, wealth is here, man. Wealth is here. And wealth is that connection. And once you have wealth of mind, wealth of body, wealth of soul, it doesn't matter what kind of material you're surrounded with. If you have that wealth, you're good, man. You're good.
SubhanAllah, this is so important, because why do you think a lot of people, even when you bring up religion, a lot of times it's not the cool thing. A lot of negative things. Oh, religion is the source of all war and evil, and you know, a lot of esoteric, mystical things. It just doesn't make sense. But I mean, how do you get even into the conversation now, today?
Because for me personally, especially, like, people know me a lot for business and commerce, and for my commercial endeavors, it has to come out, because that's just what I do. Mm-hmm. For other people may be different, but for me, you know, it's affected my whole trajectory in life. Every aspect of my life has been affected by it. So when I do speak to someone on the airplane, or someone at the airport, or when I'm traveling, or when I'm here at a restaurant, you know, from what I eat to why I'm doing this to why I'm doing that, it just has to come out in the way that, for me, you know, someone who wasn't Muslim, I know what goes on in the minds of individuals that are not Muslim. So I know what their concerns are. And for a lot of human beings, not even Muslims and non-Muslims, it's just for a lot of human beings, it's, how do I keep the lights on? How do I keep my kids from not falling to the streets, from going into drugs and falling into this mayhem where I may lose them? And that's where their concern is. So for me, wanting goodness for the human being, whether Muslim, non-Muslim, atheist, devil worshiper, that goodness that has been, I don't know, been placed in my heart, I want that. And I speak to that person's concerns, that person's needs. And, you know, Eddie, it ends up becoming like, why are you like this? Or how did you become like this? And I go, I don't know, man. Like, and by that time, my name has been stated, Muhammad. Like, I do all these things that are, you know, connected to my faith. So they've already built the association. Mm. And they may walk away and be like, man, that was a good, man, Muhammad is a really nice guy. You know, so when I meet people, you know, someone asked me, I said, my name is Muhammad, man. Please pray for me. And I'll pray for you, and please pray for yourself. You know, and I don't know, Eddie. Like,
they want some of that now. They see the peace, the light resonating, and they want some. Then hopefully that God Almighty, if they're sincere, that's one of the best advice. You know, we should seek out what the purpose of life is, why we're here. Yeah. You know, and the best one to ask is the one who created life, the one who created us.
Very true.
Tell us, how do you feel? Because we know when we're out there, in the real world, you know, the dunya affects us.
Yeah.
We see things affect the heart.
Yeah.
And you went out. How do you compare being out there where you was like 24/7, like ibadah? You were just, and that's how our life's supposed to be, with that right intention. But you went out there. You were studying in the desert and in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare that time where you were just like spiritually. Now, how do you balance that? How was the feeling then and now?
It's not about where you're from. It's about where you're at.
Where you're at.
And I can bring that back if I want to, because it's all here in the mind and in the heart. So living out there in the desert, living in West Africa, studying in the Middle East, were some of the best and transformative days of my life, period of my life. But I'm a person, through the grace of God and by the permission of God, that if I want to go through that transformation and change again, I can do that. Whether it's in Chicago, whether it's in Mexico City, whether it's in London, whether it's in Mecca. Because God is always with me. And if I want it, and I'm sincere, and Allah knows me better than I know myself, I'll have it. And if I don't have it, it's probably best that I don't have it.
That's a great example, because many people think, okay, to be religious, you have to be somewhere in the desert. You got to be just locked up in a mosque all day. No, you're a great living example that you're able to hold the balance, that you don't get too sucked up into this material world while being also in it, while striving for the pleasure of your Creator.
We're known of the religion of the middle,
of
the middle path. That's what we're known as, people who, you know, are delicately balancing, you know, fear and hope. And that's what it's always been. And Every human being seeks that balance. You know, I was coming over here, someone was talking to me about work-life balance and people wanting that way. And, you know, you can have it anywhere. And it's all here, it's all here. And having them connect and the divine connection to that just makes it that much better.
Now, there are so many similarities between Christianity and Islam. We have the Blessed Mother of Jesus. A whole chapter is named after her in the Quran. Jesus, we love him as a mighty messenger. We believe he was sent by God, but not God. And many people, they resonate. Yeah. You know, it connects with them. And people, and just in their nature, believe in a supreme being, the Creator. But what do you say before we leave to someone now with this whole, you know, new atheism?
Yeah.
When you talk to someone and say, man, get out of here with this religion and God stuff.
Yeah. Are you happy?
Mm.
It, you know, Henry David Thoreau said that people live in a quiet desperation. And people don't like to be preached to. A lot of us are suffering. A lot of us are feeling our own unique hurting feelings. And we're going through our own pains and anguishes that are only unique to us. And people may not understand. So for me, someone who comes from the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can I help? How can I be of service to you? How can I make your life better? What can I do? Our Prophet on that day will say, Ummati, Ummati, Ummati. Like my community, my people, my people. It's not about himself. This life is about being of service to the people and being of service to your neighbor, being of service to your parents, and just being of service to humanity. And when you do that, God knows your intent. God knows your heart. And God will give you what you deserve.
MashaAllah. Time is running out. We got to go for the Filipino connection that we made out there. They're tuning in. Yeah. A lot of people blindly following the cultures they're upon, you know, stuck to tradition, you know, but they like, it resonates, you know, what you're saying. What advice would you have for someone out there from the background?
From the Filipino background, like it was the way of our people in history. When you look at it, there was a period of time where they had a choice. And according to historians, like, they chose Islam. I mean, and that's a fact. Like, it's not anything that I'm making up. They chose Islam.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Deen Show. We started with peace. We end with peace. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah.
And that was our special guest, the Filipino Macquiao connection here. We have this way of life growing all over the world. It's amazing. And people, it resonates that what's inside of us, to worship the Creator, not the creation. And many of our Christian brethren out there, they also, when they see this deep love that we have for Jesus, who is a mighty messenger of Islam, and his blessed mother, that just resonates. And also, we touched upon when people accept this way of life, to see that we live a moderate way of life, balanced between not too getting sucked up into the materialism in the material world, and also not going off on the deep end on the other side. It's the middle way. So many people who have accepted this way, we also learn from this story that coming off now, many people have been just brainwashed with the media. Take it easy. Show them through your good example what a Muslim is, being the best in society, developing yourself to be better each and every day. And that's the blueprint that you have that will help you to achieve that peace that money can't buy. Subscribe if you haven't already. We also got a number, 1-800-662-ISLAM. It doesn't have to stop there. Let's start a healthy dialogue and tune in every week to the Deen Show. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.